Hello, hello, this is Glastonbury Calling. I am Paul McInnes and this is Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk, the second of our daily Glastonbury editions. That noise you hear in the background is, of course, the Pyramid Stage, which we're just a stone's throw away from. I say we because I'm joined, as ever, by Rosie Swash and Tim Jones. More from them in a minute. But in today's programme...
I want to live with a cinnamon girl. I could be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
No, sadly, that's not Neil Young. That's our first guest, having a stab at the great man. You've got about 30 seconds to work out who they are. We'll also be speaking to Friendly Fires, their thoughts on Michael Jackson and their love of the festival circuit.
Dizzy Rascal's playing.
Dizzy Rascal, yes.
Yeah, we're really excited about him.
We'll go out into the crowds to hear your Glastonbury experiences so far, and we'll look ahead to the rest of today's lineup, tell you what to expect today, as well as looking back to Friday's highlights. Day one, well, it was a game of two halves weather-wise. In the morning, a little bit wet. In the afternoon, well sun. That was a great position to be in if, like me, your look is waterproofs on top and shorts on the bottom and the ubiquitous Willington boots. But when the clouds rolled back and we got a bit of sunshine, the day ended quite nicely with good music from everyone from Lily Allen, The Specials, Neil Young, Block Party, The Maccabees and Q-Tip. But our first interviewees today and our Neil Young impressionists are Doves. That's Doves and Pounding. We sent Alex Needham to meet the band backstage yesterday. And they talked about all the old days at Glastonbury, hopping the fence and losing their tents, etc. But first, when Alex met them, he wanted to know quite how many times the band had played here.
We've played, this is our eighth.
Eighth, I think.
Yeah, we've played.
As a punter, and if you combine the two, about 11.
We came as punters, you know, when you could hop over the fence and...
Yeah.
I was about to say the good old days, but it wasn't really. Good if you wanted a free festival, but not so good if you wanted to get around.
Did you ever get your tent nicked?
No, but I mean, it was all around you, yeah. The school duggery, wasn't it? I left my tent at a gate once.
Yeah.
Me and my girlfriend at the time. Literally, first night got here and was feeling really good. Seemed to get here with that minimum of fuss.
Yeah.
Put my tent down at a gate and that was it. That's the last I saw of it. Ended up sleeping in the press tent backstage for 3 days.
So what's been your best put at Glastonbury as Doves?
I remember always from 2003 one, we headlined the other stage.
No, that was 2005. On the other stage, yeah. 2003 or something like that. 2 o'clock. We headlined this tent when it was a new band's tent. We just got back from Australia.
That was in 98.
Out of our minds. What, are you mad?
That's the first time we played this tent.
We were the first on when it was in.
Yeah.
And then
never headlined
2 years later, we headlined it when it was a new band's tent still. We headlined it, came straight back from Australia and played it that night on a Friday night.
Need to check that one out.
2005 was good.
Yeah.
That's when we did headline the other stage.
Yeah.
I thought we were on in the afternoon, weren't we?
No, that was 2003.
What dead musician would you like to bring back for a Glastonbury performance?
Joe Strummer, really. It is his connection, with Glastonbury.
Yeah.
You know, Hendrix would be pretty good.
Yeah, wow. Skip Spence, man.
Yeah.
Skip Spence would be pretty wild, just doing it all from start to finish.
Yeah, what stage would you put him on?
I'd put him on a jazz world, I think, for some weird reason. I like that field, it's great.
So what do you think of the headliners? Obviously there's been some talk as to they're a bit too old and retro.
It's bollocks, man. You've got legends up there.
Yeah. Who's your favourite now?
It's got to be Neil Young, really.
We're on at the same time as him, you know.
Yeah, really good, you know. Jesus, and Young, hopefully.
The argument, you know, that people are too old, you're either good or you're not good. Mind you, I heard the average age is 44.
Really?
On the Pyramid Stage, which is a shame we're not doing the Pyramids because we'd be the kids at the stage. That would be nice.
How long are you staying for?
We'll go back at 3 a.m.
I've got an elderly dog that needs looking after and you've got a young baby that he's got to go home to attend to.
Rock it, rock and roll.
I know.
Wherever you go, you will return.
credit crunch affected your Glastonbury? So you got a pretty big bus, so sort of affected it after.
Well, don't know, we're not earning a penny out of this.
We were looking like we were going to be $4,500 in deficit. So we shaved a few things off where we could, and you know, obviously, be damned at this age if we're going to pay to play.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But it was looking like a distinct possibility at a certain point until about 5 days ago.
Really?
Which is kind of, you know, that's what's happening these days. Live's never been more popular, but it's a struggle to make ends meet, man. You know?
Why is that? Just because of...
Just soaring costs and expenses, and I guess. And
I mean, if we all got on the back of a tranny van and loaded our gear on and on, we'd probably make a few quid.
I mean, I'm not saying those days are gone, but I'm not sure we might not be revisiting them. You know, we've paid our dues. I'd rather not do Tranny World for a few more years yet.
Okay, that was Jimmy from Doves, last night's Peel Tent headliners. And if you see them flogging their T-shirts out the back of a van, then stop them and buy one. Let's look back now in the company of Rosie Swash and Tim Jones on the first day, Friday, which finished with Neil Young at the top of the pyramid stage. Rosie Swash, you're still in tears. After what must have been an intensely emotional experience.
Yes, it was an intensely emotional experience for me. And I think, you know, I'm always saying I'm such a big fan of his, but I do think it was one that you wouldn't have to be a huge fan of his to enjoy it, because he did play all the hits, which I'm massively impressed with. I don't really have a lot of time for people that come to big events like this and then just play what they want in a contrarian way.
So when we're talking the big hits, what are we talking about?
Well, he started off with Hey Hey My My, which I've never seen him start with that before, and I was really surprised, and Tim will verify, a little bit overexcited that he started with it.
Tim, to give the listeners a picture, it was kind of a counterbalance to Rose's enthusiasm. He's sitting there with a little ball.
I quite enjoyed the first 4.5 hours.
but what about the 20 minutes, you know, blues jam?
Was it Down by the River?
Down by the River.
Sometime a blues jam can be a real highlight, though.
He played stuff from Harvest. He didn't do a lot from Tonight's the Night, but he nearly finished on Rockin' in the Free World, which is my favourite song ever, which Tim Jones hates. And he did this fantastic. He kept breaking it down like, now I'm going to finish, and then coming back and doing the chorus again. By which time, anyone in the audience who didn't know what the song was definitely knew what the chorus was. So everybody was singing along. And then he came on and did a Beatles cover at the very end.
One second, Timothy. What did he cover Beatles?
A Day in the Life.
Oh, very nice.
And then he broke all the strings on his guitar doing it.
So, Tim, now you didn't see the encore because you'd left.
Yes.
Right. And I want to get from you the kind of picture of why this might not have been the kind of transcendent experience Rosie might make out of it.
Well, I mean, I did quite enjoy it. I don't want to make it sound like I didn't enjoy it, but I'm sure everyone agrees with this kind of sentiment. If there's an artist with that many albums and that many songs, and you like a lot of them, but you're just not a massive fan. And I really love a lot of Neil Young songs, but I'm not a huge fan. There's a lot of stuff I don't like. And so, you know, the chance of him playing every song I love is very, very remote.
So it's more about you than about him? Basically, is what it comes down to. Your taste is very restricted.
Well, my taste is very important when it's me watching the gig. It would be, you know, it has to go on my taste.
Okay. I think let's draw, because I don't think we're ever going to agree on this. We're always going to have to agree.
This could go on for longer than the actual gig itself.
He sounded good. He sounded good. He played a good show.
I want to bring on to something else now. Lady Gaga, who we all went and saw on Guardian Music Mass earlier on today. And it was a bit of a mess. See, I'm moving segue there, because it was almost like this religious ceremony where she gets carried out. Mm. First of all, behind a phalanx of Roman centurions who kind of shield her. And then later on, when she comes out on a scooter bedecked in the Union Jack, in what can only be described as 10 tons of plastic sculpted to her very body.
Yes.
It was a little weird, no?
Well, that I hated Lady Gaga to begin with, and I have to apologise to SV80, because he was always saying there's more to her than meets the eye, and I've seen it now. That I like the fact that, you know, she does a lot of the legs open, groin shot, look at my bum stuff, which I don't like, but she's also not afraid to be totally weird and ridiculous, and she's just did some really stupid stuff on stage, and I really liked it. I just thought this is actually exactly what you want a pop star to be like.
Now, Tim, did you leave this one early?
I did, but only to go and see the specials. But I like Lady Gaga. It was funny. She straddled a motorbike and kind of called everyone monsters. I mean, you know. And
the bit
she,
about
she
taking acid was awful. It's just awful.
Well, that was her opening gambit, wasn't it? To try and kind of get us to like her. She told us about her festival experience and how she used to go and take acid.
Half naked, totally different.
Yeah, yeah, well, I don't know. It's certainly not a festival I've ever been invited to. More's the pity. Right. Now, Saturday, day two. Let's throw it forward to later on today. What are we going to go and see today, tonight?
Well, I've had a look at the lineup. It's almost like I'm in a really quite unusual position of the only thing I want to see at the world's biggest music festival is the Tinder Sticks.
The world's smallest band. Yeah. Are they actually physically? They are very small.
They play every year. Yeah, they're pygmies.
And Rosie, for you?
Well, I want to see Dizzy Rascal followed by Crosby, Stills and Nash because I can't think of a weirder pairing on a bill.
Dizzy, Stills and Nash.
Dizzy, Stills and Nash. When you put it like that, it's a natural pairing. So I'd like to watch them back to back just to see the transition in the car. But I just think Dizzy Rascal's sort of slope upwards to getting to this point, and the pyramid stage, you know, has been relatively gradual, even though he's still only about nine. And I just think it's going to be, you know, we saw him at Reading last year, and it was the most, he was on the main stage in the afternoon. It was the most I saw the crowd going absolutely crazy, and I think he's going to do the same thing.
I remember
tomorrow.
That at Glastonbury last year, seeing hordes of kids coming over the hill to see him, while me and loads of old people were leaving Franz Ferdinand. It was a nice interchange, but yeah. Well, that's my pick too. So I guess I'll see you there.
Can I give another tip actually? Because I do have a tip.
Oh, you got more than one tip?
I think it's all actually about Dance East.
Okay,
Dance East. I think Dance East is a very good lineup. There's Heartbreaker playing, LaRue, who, as you will know, I'm obsessed with. Too many DJs. I think that's quite good.
Yeah.
I think that's quite good.
And I think Hudson Mohawk's playing today as well, but like at lunchtime. Which is a bit weird to be listening to Wonky at lunchtime with your sandwich. All right, that's what we'll be doing today, but we wanted to hear what you were looking forward to too, so we went out into the crowd to see what was getting you excited.
Hello, my name's Alex Slavin and I'm from Ryslip.
And my name's Lauren Pickett and I'm from Ryslip.
Well, we're really excited about seeing Kasabian,
Blur,
Prodigy, ooh. Who else? Dizzy Rascal's playing.
Dizzy Rascal, yes.
Yeah, we're really excited about him. Our tent, well, I've got a four-man tent this year, which is perfect, because otherwise it's too hot.
And I've got a four-man tent for two of us.
Definitely. When we wake up in the morning, it's so hot, you can't breathe. But it's lovely this year. We're
no
great.
Sleep at Glastonbury.
No sleep at Glastonbury.
All right, I'm Joe, I'm from Doncaster.
Harry from Yorkshire.
Yeah, Dane from Doncaster.
Madness, can be really good. Bruce Springsteen, Neil Young, Crosby, Stills and Nash, hopefully Neil Young coming on with them as well.
I'm actually really looking forward to LaRue, Peaches. I think it should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen especially.
Hi, I'm Emma from London.
Hi, I'm Jared, I'm from Australia.
Matthew from London.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Passion Pit because they're new and I really love them, and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs because the latest album is awesome.
The Boss, because he's cheesy. And when Dancing in the Dark comes on, I'm going to lose the plot.
Getting down here was an absolute nightmare. We spent 5.5 hours in the train station waiting to get on a bus. Our necks and backs and legs and everything are really sore. But we're here now and it's going to be amazing.
Right, that's the sound of the crowd from Friday night. Over to our second guest now, Friendly Fires, who've had a good year of it, successful album and relentless touring, which has dragged in huge crowds, some of which were on display on Friday when they were playing the other stage. I spoke to them a little bit before their set. They were still stuck in their brogues, hadn't transitioned to wellies, so were covered in mud. They seemed pretty upbeat, and we were talking about festivals, and I asked them how they enjoyed playing the circuit.
I think we've made a lot of fans from playing at festivals. I think, yeah, it's a great way to drag people in to check you out. If they're walking around the campsite and have to hear you coming out of a tent. And yeah, I think we've won fans through playing at festivals.
Does that mean you play a different kind of set at festivals?
We bust out the Yellow Submarine cover. No, it means we can't get our own light show and we can't have a sound check or anything like that. We're just kind of shoved on stage and you've got to do your thing, and hopefully people are so kind of run down that they'll love the fact that anything is kind of energetic at all.
And with your material in general, is that something you've had to work at to get the sound right live, or is it coming from a live starting point anyway?
I think it really depends on the track. Like, some songs we wrote and recorded straight into the computer, and some songs, like On Board, we actually play completely live and then recorded the live version.
And with your new stuff, how is that working? Is that pattern similar?
It's mainly just recorded straight into the computer, I think. Some of the things were just jams, like drum beats that were improvised just through jamming. It's kind of half and half, I'd say. But
we foolishly got four drummers on to record eight extra drum parts, so that when we play it live now we have to recreate it.
You know, often the show doesn't sound exactly like the record, but, you know, does anyone really want it to?
We kind of use the studio more as like a tool to be able to, like, just do whatever the hell you want, and we don't worry about whether we can play it live. Like, there might be kind of this weird sound that we've made through shoving a guitar through loads of different delays and phases and stuff like that, and it'd be impossible to recreate it live, but it's kind of like, well, we'll just do something else that kind of just can substitute it live.
It's been quite an amazing year for you in a kind of an odd way. The buzz about you has grown after your album release, rather than the kind of the characteristic thing of it all building up before and then disappearing. How much of that would you attribute to the fact that you are kind of, you know, consistently touring and playing gigs?
I think it's incredibly important to be a great live band, especially in the current market today where people aren't really selling that many records. And I think it's good. Yeah, it encourages people to work hard and be a band that's entertaining to watch live, instead of just being like a studio group that turn up and do a half-assed show, but loads of people turn up. And yeah, I feel that it's very important to what we do, because we've been playing live together, we've been playing music together since we were 13. And I feel that, like, we're kind of lucky in the sense that we kind of know each other's style of playing.
And is this thing you had today where you address the crowd side on? Because I've seen, like, the Jesus and Mary Chain do it backwards. It's traditional to do it forwards, but you've got a side on. Is that you the first to do that?
It depends. No, I just, most of the time I just look at the drums, because, like, if I'm looking at Jack playing the beat, I feel like I can get the rhythm a bit more.
Where did your love of percussion come from? Is it shared between the group, or because that's one of the kind of standout and immediate things you can get into with your music?
There's bands like Liquid that you'll enjoy, and they were like probably a 80% percussion band.
And I think a lot of just house and techno as well. It's just all about, you know, the beat and the groove. Yeah, it's kind of, I feel it's kind of an integral, important part of our sound.
Yeah, one day we'll do a band, the Boredoms, get kind of 77 drummers to come out and join them, so we'll top that and we'll beat them.
That was the Friendly Fires, and if you're lucky enough, they might be dropping down for a night or two in your city soon. Tim.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You look good in the sun.
Thanks.
You should get out more often, I see.
Yeah, I haven't been out much.
No,
so.
No, you haven't been out much at all. You could do with a bit of colour in there. Is it beta-carotene, Rosie, you get when you go out in the sun? It's good. It's healthy. It's healthy for you. So, Tim, anyway, website.
The website.
Gardner.co.uk/music, the home of all things musical.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, we have lots of videos up at the moment. We've also got Block Party. They've done a special video diary for us.
It's typically mad.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. They've done it at Glastonbury, although you can't really tell they're at Glastonbury, and they've put on their own kind of Olympics, and it involves Matt Tong being sick. I don't think I've sold it there, have I? But it's quite funny.
Maybe amongst our listenership, that might actually be a better sell. They're also going live on the site today. It's a video. It's been shot with Phil Jupitus, who's also performing with the Blockheads, Ian Jury's old band, at the Avalon stage, and they played last night, and here's a little clip.
So Emily and Michael had my body, heart and soul for the last weekend in June on Theirs Alone, alongside 150,000 other souls who turn a muddy field into a home. So sad luck, my lovelies, make the tour your destination as the Bard of Stratford Asset get thee hence. Grab the sunblock and can join the mad and muddy congregation. Because Glastonbury's like life, it's just intense.
Jowly funny man Phil Jupitus there, having a laugh on stage, as you do. So Saturday, Rosie,
yeah.
We're halfway through now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you could basically keep on going for another 2 years.
Right, exactly.
Energy, stamina is
not
a problem.
I already feel like I've been here for 2 years and I'm not even tired.
We've talked a lot about the music, but Glastonbury is obviously a lot more than just music. And there's a lot of weird stuff out there. Anything particularly caught your eye that's a little bit odd?
There's two things. One is not that odd, but it's quite nice. The Million Mums campaign that they're doing here, which is why Naomi Campbell and Sarah Brown are on site. Lots of women are getting fake tattoos with a heart with the word mum across it, which is looks very fetching. I think I might get a real one on my face.
Instead of the spider's web you've got already.
What are you saying? I don't love my mum.
So everyone, are they all fakes?
Yeah.
Because I got mine and I didn't. Mine's not fake.
But you do love your mum, so that's all right.
But the other thing that I've noticed that I quite like is I think it's WaterAid are encouraging people to have blue paint on them, obviously.
Because water's blue.
Water's well blue.
Yeah.
And unless there was one guy
in which case it's well brown.
There was one guy yesterday who had obviously maybe had half of his T-shirt off and had got completely burnt down one side of the body, so he'd painted the other side of his body blue. So it's like directly half and half, which I thought was quite good and very weird. So he was red and blue.
Sounds like a Marvel superhero or something. What was his special power? Falling asleep in the middle of the afternoon
and
at inappropriate times. Tim, celebrities, who have you seen?
Celebrities. Actually, you know what? I haven't seen as many bands backstage as last year. Have you noticed that? I'm sure last year there was loads.
Or actually, because where we're sitting is basically right in the RV centre of
Glasgow,
where the stars hang out. And I'm sure I've seen Radio 1 DJ Sarah Cox just a moment ago. Very wee. A lot weirder than I remembered. Anyway, I've also heard that Jimmy McNulty from The Wire
is
on site.
Well, that's good.
Do you know what's weird? You know we were talking earlier about taking pictures of people that look like famous people but actually aren't famous. Yesterday, I saw someone that I was absolutely convinced was McNulty eating the biggest Cornish pasty.
Maybe it was him. You know, we should get McNulty to do something, because I'd like to see a bit of Wire on The Guardian.
Right, well, that is it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the best of Saturday. Looking forward to Sunday. I'm afraid Rosie won't be here. She hasn't got a very good excuse, though, have you, Rosie?
No, it's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
So being let off the leash for a couple of hours.
That is fantastic.
21 again.
We're very kind to Rosie.
Yeah, just 2 hours.
She gets 2 hours off on her birthday.
Back by midnight for a four-hour shift. Technically, it's not your birthday anymore. All right, Alex Needham will be joining us tomorrow. Make sure you download us, subscribe, and all that good stuff. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.